It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and this week we're teaching from the book of Revelation, the first chapter. I left off yesterday as John had a vision of the risen Savior, Jesus, Yeshua. And the Bible tells us he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard a sound like rushing waters. And he turned around to see, and he saw the Lord dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His hair was white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. He was holding in his hand seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. I love the fact that John said in verse 17, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." Now, this is the same John who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years as he ministered here on this earth. But all of a sudden, John saw the glorified Savior. The one he saw now was the risen Savior who had victory over death, hell, and the grave. In verse 17, it said, "Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades.'" Friend, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again after 3 days and 3 nights, I want you to know he came back with the keys. In verse 19, he said, "Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later." Now, this is actually the outline of the book of Revelations. Write what you have seen. That's the history of the past. What is now? This is the seven churches. And what will take place later? These are the prophetic events that John will later discuss in the book of Revelation. The tribulation period, the Antichrist, what happens with Israel, all the things contained in the book of Revelation. So you see the outline there, right? For what you have seen, that's the vision he saw of Jesus. What is now, this is the seven churches and what's going on in them, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars. Now, Jesus himself is going to explain what John had saw. "The mysteries of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels." Now, that word angels is a Greek word for messengers. It's the messengers of the seven churches. So these would be the pastors who were shepherding over the seven churches that John sends these letters to. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So the churches are represented as a lampstand shining light into their community. So Jesus breaks down the vision and he explains it to us here. The seven stars are the pastors of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands, they are the seven churches. Now today we're going to pick up with chapter 2 and begin the seven letters to the seven churches. Now you need to understand with these letters, these seven letters to seven specific churches, there is a format that Jesus will follow with the letters that he dictates to John. Number one, he will identify the church, which church it is he's writing to. And then if there's something good to say about the church, he will point out what they are doing right. Then he will share what they are doing wrong, if there's something they need to repent from, and he will share that with them. And then at the end of the letter, he will give a promise to those who overcome. Now, that is a specific group of people mentioned here in the book of Revelation from each church who overcomes, and they are successful doing what God called them to do. So we're beginning, first of all, he writes the very first letter to the church in Ephesus. Now, this is the same church, the same town where Paul wrote a letter, the book of Ephesians that we have in our Bible. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1 here in Revelation. "To the angel Remember, this is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. Write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the golden lampstands. Now, the first thing that Jesus does after identifying the church and the city that he's writing to is he identifies with the vision that John had in the first chapter. And he points out a specific part of that vision about himself that is specifically applicable to that specific church. And to the church of Ephesus, how did he identify himself? These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. So Jesus wanted the church in Ephesus to know, number one, that he's holding their pastor in his right hand and that he is walking in the midst of their church. He knows what's going on. Nothing is catching him by surprise. He's there in the midst of them. Now look what he says in verse 2. This comes the good that they're doing. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. So a couple of good things he points out to this church in Ephesus. He knows that they worked hard. He knows they persevered. They had stickability. He knows that they could not stand and tolerate wicked men who claimed to be apostles, but they proved to be false. So they didn't put up with false apostles. And then he says, you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. What a great thing to say about a church. But then verse 4 has that dreaded word, yet. Yet I hold this against you. Now we can learn something from this too. I believe whenever we have a confrontation with someone, and those happen in the course of our life, there's going to be times when you have to confront someone. I believe Jesus gives us an example here. Before you ever share what it is you're upset about, before you ever expose the faults and failures of someone, number one, point out what they're doing good. I believe this is a good example for us to follow. Now that Jesus told them what they're doing good, he's going to tell them where they're falling short. Look at verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Now, Jesus points out their failure and their fault was this. They forgot their first love. They walked away from that wonderful experience of their first love with Jesus. Can you remember back when you first received Christ as your personal Savior? It's all you wanted to talk about. You were madly in love with Jesus. And yet, there's times when the cares of life can choke that out, and we can be so obsessed with what's going on around us that we forget that first love that we had with Christ. He says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What is he saying? A church that walks away from God, God will let it fall apart. It will be removed from its place. And then I love how he sneaks in one more good thing they're doing in verse 6. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The church of Ephesus was a great church. We read in the book of Ephesians as Paul writes to them so many great truths that we find in the book of Ephesians. This is the church that Jesus was speaking to here. And he says here, now in verse 7, he gives them the promise that he extends to the overcomer. Listen to this. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, when did we last see the tree of life? It was found in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve would eat from that tree every day in the Garden of Eden until they were banished from the garden. And now that's what Jesus promises to the overcomers. They will eat from the tree of life, which is now in the paradise of God. See, friend, you and I, as we are overcomers, and as we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, one of the things that God promises us is this everlasting life. It doesn't begin when we get to heaven. It begins the moment we receive Jesus as our personal Savior. I have eternal life now. You and I, because we believe upon Jesus, we now will live forever. And I believe we will eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, I told you when we began this study yesterday that each of these seven letters also represents a historical time period of the church. And so what does this first letter represent? There are seven letters. Seven is the number of completion. So it will represent the entire history of the church world. Now, the letter to the church in Ephesus, here in Revelation chapter 2, the first seven verses, it represents the early church, specifically the time period of the apostles and the establishment of Christianity from Acts chapter 2, when the church was born on the day of Pentecost. And those early years is what this letter represents. They went through incredible challenges of persecution and struggles. And Jesus is pointing out to them that they didn't tolerate the wicked people who claimed to be apostles, but they were really false prophets. So this letter to Ephesus here also represented that early Christian period where there was such purity. He spoke here calling them back to their first love before they started to decline. And I believe it's the same thing today. God is drawing his people today to come back to their first love. This letter is a prophetic message that speaks to Christians today as well. It didn't just speak to the church at the time of John when Jesus spoke these words to him. It didn't just speak about a prophetic period of the apostles and the beginning of the church, but I believe it speaks to us today. We can learn the truth from this letter that Jesus himself dictated to John to be delivered to the church in the town of Ephesus. I hope you're enjoying the teaching we're doing from the book of Revelation. We're going to be talking about all week long and going into next week as we talk about seven letters to seven churches that Jesus dictated to John. I believe you're going to be blessed, and I just thank you for joining me today. We're going to pick up right where we left off today, tomorrow. So join me again on Fresh Oil, Walking Grace.
We are excited to announce the release of Keith's new book entitled This Is My Story. Available now on Amazon.com for only $9.95 in paperback or $14.95 for hardcover. You can also order the ebook for your Kindle. This book is filled with stories telling the defining moments in Keith's life and career. In this book, Keith takes you on a journey from his early days as a gospel singer touring in CCM music to a pivotal moment when he faced a serious health challenge, as told in a chapter entitled, God Don't Waste Pain. Through his experiences, you will be inspired and challenged to embrace the story God has uniquely planned for your life. Order today on Amazon.com. Just search Keith Manley, This Is My Story.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.